Welcome to another episode of Million Dollar Stories, where we get to interview authors from all over the world. I'm super pumped for this conversation because it does center around AI. Now, as you guys know, I'm an entrepreneur. I love helping people start businesses. I think AI is going to be a tool that you can use. It's going to be to your benefit as long as you use it rather than be used by it. And so if you can use it the proper way, you can reap many rewards. And so the book that we're talking about today, Soulful, You in the Future of Artificial Intelligence. We have the author today, David Espindola. Thank you so much for being here, sir.
Thanks for having me, Mike. It's a pleasure to be here on the show with you.
Well, let's start off with the genesis of this book. Now, AI, people didn't believe in it really until they saw this thing called ChatGPT. And it's changing how everybody does business. So let's start off with the genesis. Why'd you write this?
Yeah, so I wrote this book because I had written a previous book called The Exponential Era. And in that book, I talk about several platforms that are growing exponentially, that are converging, and that are bringing just amazing changes to business, to society. And out of the eight platforms that I mentioned in that book, the one that really stood out to me was AI. So I knew AI was going to be very impactful. You know, it's like you said, we find this bookmark where, you know, prior to ChatGPT, AI was talked about mainly within technology circles and academia, but the general public didn't know anything about AI. And so I wanted to write this book to, number one, help people understand the magnitude of the changes that are coming due to AI, and then to just let people prepare for the changes, you know, get the skills that they need to be able to collaborate with AI and be able to do well in the future by embracing this change that's going to impact all of us.
Well, I think it's getting very scary if you are not aware of it, because, for example, social media, when it comes to individuals going on Instagram and liking pictures, a lot of the people, or not a lot, but many of individuals that they're the accounts that they're liking, it's AI created, right? It might be the best looking girl that you've ever seen, but it's not real. And so individuals out there who are humans are competing against AI women, which is just unbelievable. So individuals are now being drawn to maybe giving their attention to fake people, right? These are just computer-driven platforms. And so I'm thinking maybe when it comes to relationships are going to die, but also the expectations are going to die when it comes to what to expect on whenever it comes to a relationship, or what to expect when it comes to love or attraction. I think that is going to be one major downfall. So it's scary if you're not aware of how powerful it is as of right now. Am I right?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And you mentioned a number of different topics here that that I think are really important. So let's try to unpack that a little bit. So the first is this whole idea of, you know, deep fake, which is a huge ethical concern that we all have with AI. And I think we really need to put together some guardrails to protect the general public regarding deep fakes. And it's really scary. You know, you could have somebody call you, or even do a video call with you, sounding and looking like somebody that you know, asking for money, right? So scammers are all over this, and we got to be really guarded and really careful that we don't fall for these types of things, because the technology is that powerful. Now, as far as, you know, relationships, you know, this is another very important topic, because even though I think AI is going to be very influential in our work and everything that we do as a society, I still have the strong belief that there are some things that are human, skills that we bring to the table, abilities that we have that the machines will never be able to replicate. And one of those is, you know, the ability to have empathy, the ability to build trust, the ability to love others. So these things are very human in nature. And I think as time goes, the tendency will be for us to value even more these unique human skills that the machines can't replicate.
Yeah, EQ, right? There's no doubt about it. Emotions are the biggest differentiator when it comes to computers. They can probably outperform us when it comes to any simple task, but emotions, trust, very, very difficult to replicate and make in a robot. So that is something that will become more valuable as time goes on, I'm assuming.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think we are going through one of the fastest and deepest changes that we've ever experienced as humanity. And it can be scary, you know, and I know there's a lot of people out there that are scared about the future. But I think, you know, so one of the things that I try to do in the book is try to balance, you know, reality, right? We need to face reality and we need to be aware of some of these negative possible consequences of AI or any other technology. But at the same time, I like to lean towards the optimistic side of things. And I try to highlight a lot of the benefits that AI could bring to society, right? So AI can do amazing things that could completely change our future for the better. Things like, you know, curing diseases like cancer, bringing better solutions for the energy crisis that we have and global warming and environmental degradation, all of these things, AI can help us find better solutions in the future. So I tend to be optimistic about the future of AI, even though I realize and I recognize some of the dangers as well.
So I'm reading the summary. It says it provides new insights and investigations from multiple domains, including technology, neuroscience, social psychology, economics, philosophy, and theology. When it comes to neuroscience, one of the benefits of AI is that it's going to give people who may have been dealt a bad hand whenever it comes to their health, maybe a second lease on life. You see Elon putting chips into people, helping them, whether it's see or whether it's communicate or whether it's feel again. There are incredible things that are on the horizon, and I'm assuming within the book, maybe you touch on a few of these, but the rewards of some of these things are incredible. Now, there is a double-edged sword to pretty much everything, where if it's used in a negative manner, very much like in the movie Iron Man, it could really come back to bite you. It can take away all sense of freedom, and if it's in the wrong hands, it becomes like the ring in Lord of the Rings, where a lot of devastation can come from it. But when you talk about optimism, I'm thinking when it comes to neuroscience and maybe the health of many people, a lot of it's looking good because of AI. Am I right?
Yeah. So, you know, I think when we talk about neuroscience, one of the things that I think is important to realize is that the human brain is just an amazing, amazing creation. You know, the things that we're able to do with a tiny fraction of the energy required for computers to do, and the computers can't even match what we are able to do with our brain, right? So I just think the human brain is just an absolutely amazing creation and an amazing thing that we have as humans that is very, very hard for computers to you know, catch up to what we can do. We're making progress, right? So eventually it's possible that the machines will become just as smart, just as capable as humans, or even more. I don't discard that as a possibility. But if you just look at, you know, a robot today, a general purpose robot, if you put a general purpose robot in the kitchen, right? And you ask the robot to just go to the fridge, open the fridge, get a jar of water and pour that water into a glass. That robot's going to have a real hard time doing that if it's not familiar with that environment. You can ask a three-year-old to do the same thing and they will do it without even thinking about it, right? So it's just amazing how our brain is so sophisticated, so capable, you know, compared to the machines. Now, having said that, we realize that we're all becoming cyborgs, right? So we are extending our capabilities. I mean, just think about the smartphone, right? I can't live without my smartphone anymore. My entire life depends on this little
device. I feel lost without it. I'm with you. Yes.
Absolutely. And now we got, you know, we got the smart watches. We got the smart glasses. We got, you know, these earbuds that can actually read our thoughts. And that's a really scary piece of this. So with ENC electroencephalography, you can just put earbuds or wear a headband, and a headband will be able to decode the thoughts that you're having. So it'll be able to, for instance, to tell if you're thinking about a person, it will be able to tell the image of the person you're thinking about. If you are about to enter a PIN number, you know, in your machine, you'll be able to tell that PIN number ahead of you entering that PIN number into the machine. So the capabilities that we're developing right now are just incredible and also scary. You know, you talked about BCI and what Elon is doing, you know, with Neuralink. And, you know, there's a outfit out there that's already inserting chips into the hand of humans so that we can make purchases with our hand. And obviously now we're taking that to the next level, inserting these chips into our brains. And where it goes from there, we don't know. But, you know, we're all becoming cyborgs.
Scary. Now, there are many industries that are going to be affected by this sooner than others. And I'm thinking maybe, you know, it's a great time to be an entrepreneur. It's not a great time if you're about to be wiped out. If you're in school and you're about to take on a job that most likely AI will be able to replace you at a fraction of the cost, very scary. So what do you believe is, what industry do you think, or what industries do you think are going to be impacted by the most, the fastest?
Yeah. So let me first just say that I have a great appreciation for entrepreneurs. So Mike, you are an entrepreneur. I'm an entrepreneur. It's not easy being an entrepreneur, but you know, the possibilities with entrepreneurship are just so amazing. And I got to, I was privileged in having an experience very early on in my career. I was in Silicon Valley. I worked at two very fast tech companies, one of which did an IPO. We went from $80 million in revenues to $400 million in revenues in just 3 years.
Wow.
So it really gave me an appreciation for the power of technology and the power of entrepreneurship. And so what's happening today is things are changing so fast, right, that companies that are not able to keep up are going to be left behind. And it just opens up the possibilities for entrepreneurs to fill the gaps, right? To bring in the things that only entrepreneurs are capable of doing, which is to really do a lot of experimentation, to pivot on a moment's notice, to, you know, get on with, you know, the newest technologies, the newest market opportunities. So I think the possibilities are very vast. Now, within the AI field specifically, I like to think of it very broadly as two general categories of opportunities. The first is the opportunity for companies that have access to a lot of capital. So those are the companies that are working on the foundational models of AI. You know, so it's companies like OpenAI, it's Google, it's Microsoft, it's Amazon, it's the big guys, right? They got access to a lot of capital. They can invest a lot of money into engineers, but also compute, right? It takes a lot of compute to be able to do these things with AI. But there's another set of opportunities, which is on the application side of AI. And that's where I think, you know, smaller entrepreneurs can really take advantage of the opportunities that are going to open up, leveraging these foundational models and open source AI to then create applications that will have specific benefits in specific market opportunities. So the trick is finding that product market fit, just like with anything else in entrepreneurship. And also, you know, because it's changing so fast, it's very possible that you're going to go down a path and very quickly you may have to pivot or go in a different direction because we just don't know how this market is going to evolve. It's going to be, it is a very dynamic market right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I have this phrase, think like an entrepreneur, because I mean, I say it to everybody on my team all the time. If you think like an entrepreneur, you realize that wherever there's chaos, there's opportunity. And I think we're entering a world. I mean, we're always in a world of chaos, but you know, AI is going to be so disruptive that there's going to be chaos, which means there's going to be opportunity. And if you could just become a problem solver, you realize that you can use it to solve other people's problems. If you help them get to where they want to go, you will get to where you want to go. So being an entrepreneur allows you to be very nimble, and you can pivot whenever you see these problems enter the world. And so if you are waiting on the world to, you know, be fixed for you or have AI take care of the pathway for you, I think you're in some serious trouble. But if you see it, you're realizing that many industries will be disrupted, opening up many doors for you. And so when you see what's coming down the road, you probably have been in this world quite a bit, especially since you've been in Silicon Valley. There's a lot of people who are in school right now, probably taking on $80,000 to $100,000 in debt, and their job, it will not be there by the time they graduate. And I would say that there are some industries that are really in trouble. Do you have any that stand at the top of your mind?
Yeah. So first of all, you know, I agree with you. I think education is one area that is overdue for disruption. You know?
Yeah, right.
This idea that, you know, you go to college, right, and you pay, like you said, $80,000 to $100,000 to get a degree that basically becomes obsolete the moment you graduate, because the technology is changing so fast that, you know, obviously there's some fundamental things. So let me just say this. There's some fundamental, you know, skills and knowledge that school can help you obtain. So I'm not dismissing that. And obviously, if you want to become a doctor, if you want to become a lawyer, you know, you need to go through that formal education process. But if you just want to be in business, or if you want to do, you know, digital marketing, or if you want to do other things, I just don't know that, you know, college is the best path to do that. And this problem that we have today with this, student debt, it's just so painful to see that happen to people. You know, starting your life with a negative net worth and digging a hole so deep that becomes extremely difficult later to recover from, it's just not a good way to start your life. You know, so we need some really some very good entrepreneurs to sort of disrupt that model and help us get back on track. But so in terms of, you know, industries that I think will be impacted by AI, I would say all of them. I don't think there's any will not be impacted by this technology. So it's just a question of time, right? So the things that are algorithmic in nature, so any task that is done by simply following a set of instructions, all of those tasks are going to be exposed to automation, right? So any industry that's highly algorithmic in nature, if they're not already automating it, they're going to be out of business. And if they stay in business, they're going to be automating all of those processes. So, you know, the human engagement and the human value that's added there is going to be minimum. I think where we're going to see humans adding a lot of value is where there's a need for that human-to-human interaction, right? Mm-hmm. So it's in healthcare. It's in helping people develop skills. I think education is one where, even though AI can bring a lot of benefits to the education process itself, having that human mentor that helps people learn how to collaborate with other humans, develop that teamwork capability, and learn how to have empathy for others. I think those are all skills that are going to be in very high demand.
Yeah, and I'm thinking what you're just talking to me about this made me think of, you've heard the phrase SaaS, right? Software as a service, right?
Yeah.
Software is incredible, right? It's going to change your life, but you still need someone to service you, right? You still need that point of contact for problems to be solved. So one person can do maybe 50 different tasks as compared to before without the software, maybe you needed 50 different people. But that person becomes more valuable because if they understand technology, they understand AI, they can use all that and just become hyper efficient. So the person who understands that they can add value everywhere, as long as they become a valuable person and be the point of contact, they're going to be taken care of. And it might be that they become rewarded at levels they don't even think are possible at this point. So that's huge, I think.
Yeah. So I think that's really the key is, you know, you're going to have people that know how to use this technology. They're good at it. Those people are going to be much, much more efficient than the people that don't, right? So obviously those people will have opportunities. They're going to do well. But if you don't, then you're going to be left behind and the opportunities are just not going to be there for you. So you really need to understand this change, and it's coming very, very fast. So, you know, one of the things that I've been doing is I've been working in partnership with the University of Minnesota, and we're developing a program to help local companies upskill their workforce on AI. So we're developing curriculum in partnership with these companies, and these companies are very interested in getting their workforce, you know, up to speed on what's happening with AI. And I'm seeing a number of initiatives across, you know, the university ecosystem, very proactive universities that are putting together all kinds of educational opportunities for people. Plus, you have all the online, you know, education possibilities, you know, Coursera, deeplearning.ai. There's a lot of resources out there that people can leverage to become skilled in this technology.
And so the average person listening as an entrepreneur looking to start or grow a business, what advice would you say to them? I mean, to just lean in on AI, learn as much as you possibly can to become the go-to source, maybe establish some type of credibility or just have it as part of your tool belt to some capacity. What's your great, what would be the greatest takeaway, I guess you could say, for them?
Yeah, definitely lean in, learn as much as you possibly can, you know, leverage these free resources that are available to you. And sometimes even if it's a paid resource, you know, I think it's worthwhile investing in learning as much as you can about this technology. But, you know, take it one step further and start actually building with the technology, right? Get hands-on experience, experiment with it. You know, whether you want to build something that you can eventually turn into a marketable commercial application, or whether it's something that you want to do just to learn how it works and have fun with it. It could be as simple as, you know, become better at prompt engineering, right? So we have all these amazing AI tools out there, ChatGPT, but, you know, there is several other ones that are available that you can leverage to do your day-to-day work, whether it's, you know, creating better emails or, you know, if you want to do a post or you want to write a book or you want to do whatever content you want to create. We have these amazing tools that are available to us that can be very, very helpful if you know how to use it well, right? So just learning how to become better at prompt engineering can be a very valuable skill.
And that is a great takeaway. It's very much like the Socratic method. You only get good answers if you ask good questions. You only get good takeaways from ChatGPT if you're a great prompter. So become great at that and you will see a difference.
So thanks for that remark, because it reminds me of something that I often talk about and I write about, and that is the fact that, you know, so in our formal education process, our education system comes from the Industrial Revolution, right? That's how this format sort of came about, because the factories needed people with, you know, basic skills in math and language and other topics to be able to be effective in this Industrial Revolution setting. And so the method that was developed was to have, you know, these formal classroom education processes where teachers would do a lecture, and your job as a student was to absorb as much of that information as you possibly could, right? and then regurgitate that information in the form of standardized tests. I mean, that's the process that we've been working with for 100 years.
Yeah.
Well, that doesn't work anymore. Not only doesn't work anymore, because now you can just go to ChatGPT and ask whatever you want to know. So what's the point of memorizing all this information, right? But the key is you got to know what you ask, right? So learning how to ask the right question, I believe, is going to be more important than knowing how to answer questions. So, in order for you to be really good at asking questions, obviously, you have to learn the fundamentals, right? Because if you don't know the fundamentals, then it's very difficult for you to come up with intelligent questions. So get as broad an education as you possibly can, learn the first principles, the fundamentals, and then become very good at asking deep questions. And if you do that, and if there's something that I talk about called lateral thinking, which is the ability to go to multiple domains and then ask the experts questions related to those domains, and then linking the dots across these domains to come up with a unique solution that you're interested in solving. And in our case, those experts are going to be AI. AI is going to be the expert, and you need to know what to ask the AI in order to build these solutions. So I think that's going to be one of the most valuable skills in the future.
Yeah, asking great questions. I think it started for me in 2016, and it just woke me up, the fact that I was starting to ask questions for the very first time. And so I'm glad you bring that up, because the school is in an indoctrination camp, right? You're going to regurgitate the same information, and you're going to either get a good grade or a bad grade based off of you regurgitating that information back on a test. And if you break it down of how the education system was even created, with Rockefeller getting involved and why he created it and what he thought about it, and it hasn't really changed since then, pretty scary. But the moment you start to wake up and ask great questions, you start to realize, wait a second, how is it that we have all of these tools, resources, capabilities, yet I don't have any more freedom? Wait a second, maybe it's bad information that I got, and I need to apply this information in a different manner. And speaking of which, your book is called Soulful. I love the title of it. Most people are working more now than ever, right? They have less time than ever, yet we have all these tools and resources. And I think with AI, you can maybe start to build your dream life for the very first time. We have all these scheduling softwares, all this. So many people get a career and they build their dream life around their career. Well, in my opinion, the moment I started to wake up, I realized, why don't I build my career around my dream life? Start there. And so with AI, technology, software, all these systems and processes, I realized I could do that, but nobody really taught me how to do it. I think with this technology, you can do it. And maybe if you start to ask yourself what you really want, who are you really, have that self-awareness, you start there and then realize, what a second, you start to ask yourself, how can I use AI to make more of me come out in the open? And is that what the great takeaway is with this book called Soulful, that you got to know that you have a soul and feed that first? Anything you want to say about that?
Yeah, so let me speak to that title a little bit. So one of the things that I wanted to capture there was, this juxtaposition of, humans being, soft and emotional and having this ability to connect with other humans versus, the hard analytical side of the machines. And I think it's really the combination of the two that's going to bring us, new opportunities and new possibilities in the future. So I think you're absolutely right. AI is going to bring unprecedented changes and opportunities to people that can take advantage of it to build their dream life, like you said. On the other hand, I believe that unfortunately, there'll be others that just won't be able to keep up, for whatever reason. There are many, many reasons why people are not able to keep up. And that's why today we have, this disparity between, people that do very well and people that don't do well. So I think it's important for us to create safety nets. I think it's important for us to have compassion for others and find ways that we can leverage this technology to make sure that everybody benefits, right? So AI should not be the technology of the elite only. AI needs to be the technology of humanity. That's going to elevate, you know, the possibilities for all of us. And I do believe that AI is going to bring such profound changes in the way we produce things. You know, this whole idea of the creation production model that's different than the extraction production model, that's going to allow us to create abundance. And if you have that abundance mindset, which is totally different than the scarcity mindset that we've lived with, you know, throughout humanity, I think we can get there. But it's, you know, it's going to take time. And in the meantime, we're going to have this gap. And I talk about that in the book. And we need to create safety nets for people that are going to be in this transitory period without a safety net. We need to help them.
Can you give me your vision of the future? I was talking to somebody last week on this podcast about my vision of what AI is going to do. And here's what it looks like, in my opinion. I believe in 50 years, it's going to be every car is going to be self-driving. And I think within 100 years, it's going to be illegal to drive your own car. It's going to be based around all AI driving it for you, because politicians will say that's safer, which gives them more control. I think we're going into the world of communist China, where we're getting into these social credit scores, and it's going to be cameras picking up who you are without even seeing your face. It almost knows who you are based off of either a chip or your phone in your pocket. I also start to see how relationships of individuals are breaking apart. If guys want to date a woman, it's probably most likely within 100 years, I'm just going to order one through AI, and it's going to come up on the screen. It's going to talk to me like a human being, and it's going to give me everything I need, most likely. So, I mean, obviously, it's not going to replace everything, but this is where I see it's going. It's scary. I'm glad I'm born in 1984 rather than 2084. So what do you say about the future? What do you think?
Yeah, so I think some of these things you're talking about are pretty scary for sure. You know, there are things like the convergence of AI and biology that to me is perhaps one of the most concerning aspects of this. You know, think of generative biology, you know, AI going wild and creating all kinds of new biological entities that we may not fully understand or control, you know, because we do have this black box problem, right? We don't fully understand all aspects of AI, why it makes the decisions that it makes, why it comes to the conclusions that it comes to. So if you don't understand it, then you can't control it. If you can't control it, it can very quickly turn into chaos. So that's the negative side, but I like to focus on the positive side. So let's go on the positive side of things. So like I said, I think number one, AI is going to have an impact on healthcare that I think is just going to be amazing. So we'll be able to cure a lot of the diseases that we struggle with today. You know, cardiovascular disease is one of the biggest killers in the world. Cancer, obviously, many others. I think we'll have new capabilities to address these healthcare concerns. And I think that's going to be fantastic. I think in terms of, you know, material abundance, I think AI is going to bring that to us, that material abundance that will be driven by this creation production mode, where we're going to take things from an atomic level or a molecule and be able to create new things in ways that are sustainable, that doesn't impact our environment. And so if we have this material abundance and we can do it in a way that everybody benefits from it, I think it's going to give all of humanity the basic needs that, you know, that we all have. I think AI is going to take away the work that we don't like to do, right? The things that are boring to us, the things that are dangerous, the things that we don't enjoy doing, so that we can then focus on doing the things that we love doing. And I think we're all made to do great works. We you know, most people like to work, but you want to, you know, do work that you enjoy, that where you can use your creativity, you can use your gifts to bring benefits to the world. And I think AI is going to enable that as well. So I see a lot of positives down the road. Obviously, you know, predictions are dangerous things, right? So I don't like to make predictions. And this is one that is changing so fast, it's very hard to predict exactly how it's going to unfold. But I tend to be on the optimistic side of things.
Yeah, and the great takeaway, in my opinion, number one, obviously, actually two great takeaways. The opportunities are going to be there for problem-solving entrepreneurs, but also the information. Right. There's a lot of information that people get in school that I believe is completely wrong. And I think that with AI and certain technologies, you might have a world where, and this is probably the case now, where you're getting information. Two different people are playing by two sets of roles. If you are looking at maybe ChatGPT, it's going to give you a certain outline for life. If you're looking at maybe what Elon creates, it's going to be a different outline, maybe based off of different information. So you're going to have a complete, maybe is it diversion or separation of individuals, one path for a certain group and another path for another group. And I think that's a blessing because individuals will go away from mainstream media. They will probably not be going to regular public school anymore. There's going to be a lot of self-education, self-reliance. And I think maybe that is going to be one of the great benefits. Do you agree with that? Do you think there are going to be multiple platforms with actually two sets of outcomes?
Yeah, I do think so. And I do hope so, because I think that's going to be very important, right? So one of the main things that we need to make sure is that we give access to these technologies, you know, so that open source idea, I think, is really, really important. It obviously also has the, you know, the dangerous side of it that I'm concerned about, which is we don't want this technology to get in the hands of the wrong people. But, you know, if we can create the right guardrails around that and ways to prevent that from happening, if we can give access to people and you can have multiple, you know, shoots off of this technology that will go in different directions, and people can then choose which direction they want to use to improve their lives. So I do agree with you on that.
Pretty scary stuff, but exciting. I'm telling you right now is a good time to be alive. You know, before it gets really chaotic, maybe we can stop it and have some type of fail safes or regulation. How do you propose that gets done? Do you believe, and I hate giving government control or power over this, but what do you think needs to be done for this control?
Yeah, so that's a really challenging question, right? Because you know, the problem is technology is changing much faster than the ability of regulators to keep up with it. But we do need some guardrails. So, you know, I think some regulation is called for. You know, the challenge, as always, is to be sensible on how you do that, right? You don't want to create so much regulation that it, you know, prevents us from moving forward, especially if you think of an open market society like the U.S., nothing's going to stop China. So if we put regulations in the U.S. that prevent us from developing this thing further and China goes ahead and does it, then the U.S. is going to be left behind. So we need to be really careful with that and then just strike the right balance, right? We want to give protections. We want to respect people's privacy. I think that's really, really important. You know, maybe we have to label some of these deepfake creations so that people know that this is not real, that this is deep fake, you know, ideas like that. And I would just ask the entrepreneurial community to come up with great ideas, right, that will help us address the negatives and help us focus on the positives. So I think if the entrepreneurs can do this themselves, I think that's our first point of attack. And then second, the government providing some guardrails that are balanced just right. And I know that's easier said than done, but you know, that's what we need.
Yeah. You give the wrong people some of that power, they'll never let go. So I'm with you though. I mean, yeah, there's gotta be something that has to happen because this is a genie. Once it comes out, I mean, there's no way. I mean, it's already happening. So I think Elon, whenever he spoke, he said that I tried to warn people how scary this is, and now it's out, and it's getting worse and worse and worse. So when you hear somebody like Elon say that, it's pretty wild, and I think that we're in for a wild future for sure. And then whenever you add in cryptocurrency, and then other countries moving away from the dollar, it's going to be a bumpy road, I think, but could be exciting if you're you know, using all this new technology to your benefit.
Yeah, and I think it's important to keep that in mind, right? The cat is out of the bag, right? The train has left the station, whatever analogy you want to use. So there's no going back here. We got to embrace this. We got to get ready for it. We got to, you know, accept that this is happening. You know, this whole idea of a moratorium, it just doesn't work. It's not going to work. So we can't stop it. It's moving forward.
Yeah, somebody out there is going to be using it. And so if it's out there, you know, you don't want to be left behind. Like you said, China and other countries, the ones who adopt the technology the fastest usually win. And that's the game.
Yeah. And this is the big one. This is the, you know, take all type of capability.
That's right. So guys, check out his book. You do have a website and social media. Obviously, I don't know if you're on X and you're frequently posting, but davidespindola.com is the website. Is that right?
Yeah, that's correct. And I usually focus more on LinkedIn. So if people want to connect with me, I'm active on LinkedIn. And then the website is a good way to get in touch with me as well.
Yeah, I just took a look at the website. Very well done. The book is called Soulful. You in the future of artificial intelligence. Be ready, be prepared. Gain your soul, find your soul, but never, ever lose your soul. And, you know, I think that the more you are in touch with who you really are, the more you realize what you can, you know, what's either in the world or lacking in the world, and maybe be the solution for it. So check his book out. And remember, guys, a $1 million book will lead to a $1 million life. Right on.